Chapter 99. The Golden Dustman falls into worse company. It had come to pass that Mr. Silas Wegg now rarely attended the Minion of Fortune, and the Worm of the Hour, at his, the Worm's and Minion's, own house, but lay under general instructions to await him within a certain margin of hours at the Bower. Mr. Wegg took this arrangement in great dudgeon, because the appointed hours were evening hours, and those he considered precious to the progress of the friendly move. But it was quite in character, he bitterly remarked to Mr. Venus, that the upstart who had trampled on those eminent creatures, Miss Elizabeth, Master George, Aunt Jane, and Uncle Parker, should oppress his literary man. The Roman Empire having worked out its destruction, Mr. Boffin next appeared in a cab with Rollin's Ancient History, which valuable work being found to possess lethargic properties, broke down, at about the period, when the whole of the army of Alexander the Macedonian, at that time about 40,000 strong, burst into tears simultaneously, on his being taken with a shivering fit after bathing. The wars of the Jews, likewise languishing under Mr. Wegg's generalship, Mr. Boffin arrived in another cab with Plutarch, whose lives he found in the sequel extremely entertaining, though he hoped Plutarch might not expect him to believe them all. What to believe, in the course of his reading, was Mr. Boffin's chief literary difficulty indeed. For some time he was divided in his mind between half, all, or none. At length, when he decided, as a moderate man, to compound with half, the question still remained, which half? And that stumbling block he never got over. One evening, when Silas Wegg had grown accustomed to the arrival of his patron in a cab, accompanied by some profane historian charged with unutterable names of incomprehensible peoples, of impossible descent, waging wars any number of years and syllables long, and carrying illimitable hosts and riches about, with the greatest ease, beyond the confines of geography, one evening the usual time passed by, and no patron appeared. After half an hour's grace, Mr. Wegg proceeded to the outer gate, and there executed a whistle, conveying to Mr. Venus, if perchance within hearing, the tidings of his being at home and disengaged. Forth from the shelter of a neighboring wall, Mr. Venus then emerged. "Brother in arms," apostrophe said Mr. Wegg, "in excellent spirits, welcome." Apostrophe, in return, Mr. Venus gave him a rather dry good evening. "Walk in, brother," apostrophe said Silas, clapping him on the shoulder, "and take your seat in my chimney corner, for what says the ballad? No malice to dread, sir, and no falsehood to fear, but truth to delight me, Mr. Venus, and I forgot what to cheer. Lee toddle dom dee, and something to guide, my ain fireside. Sir, my ain fireside." Apostrophe, with this quotation, depending for its neatness rather on the spirit than the words, Mr. Wegg conducted his guest to his hearth. "And you come, brother," apostrophe said Mr. Wegg, in a hospitable glow, "you come like I don't know what exactly like it, I shouldn't know you from it shedding a halo all around you." Apostrophe, "what kind of halo?" Apostrophe asked Mr. Venus. "Oh, sir," apostrophe replied Silas, "that's your halo." Apostrophe, Mr. Venus appeared doubtful on the point, and looked rather discontentedly at the fire. "We'll devote the evening, brother," apostrophe exclaimed Wegg, "to prosecute our friendly move." And afterwards, crushing a flowing wine cup which I allude to brewing rum and water, "we'll pledge one another. For what says the poet? And you need, Mr. Venus, be your black bottle, for surely I'll be mine, and we'll take a glass with a slice of lemon in it to which you're partial, for auld lang syne." Apostrophe, this flow of quotation and hospitality in Wegg indicated his observation of some little querulousness on the part of Venus. "Why, as to the friendly move," apostrophe observed the last-named gentleman, rubbing his knees peevishly, "one of my objections to it is, that it don't move." Apostrophe, "Rome, brother," apostrophe returned Wegg. "A city which, it may not be generally known, originated in twins and a wolf, and ended in imperial marble. wasn't built in a day. Apostrophe, did I say it was? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Venus. No, you did not, brother. Well, inquired. Apostrophe, but I do say, apostrophe, proceeded Venus, that I am taken from among my trophies of anatomy, am called upon to exchange my human warius for mere coal ashes warius, and nothing comes of it. I think I must give up. Apostrophe, no, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, remonstrated Wegg, enthusiastically. No, sir. Charge, Chester, charge, on, Mr. Venus, on. Never say die, sir. A man of your mark. Apostrophe, it's not so much saying it that I object to, apostrophe, returned Mr. Venus, as doing it. And having got to do it whether or no, I can't afford to waste my time on groping for nothing in cinders. Apostrophe, but think how little time you have given to the move, sir, after all, apostrophe, urged Wegg. At the evening so occupied together, and what do they come to? And you, sir, harmonizer with myself in opinions, views, and feelings, you with the patience, to fit together on wires the whole framework of society I allude to the human skeleton you to give in so soon. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't like it, apostrophe, returned Mr. Venus moodily, as he put his head between his knees, and stuck up his moldy hair. And there's no encouragement to go on. Apostrophe, not the mounds without, apostrophe, said Mr. Wegg, extending his right hand with an air of solemn reasoning. Encouragement? Not the mounds now looking down upon us? Apostrophe, apostrophe, they're too big, apostrophe, grumbled Venus. What's a scratch here and a scrape there, a poke in this place and a dig in the other, to them? Besides, what have we found? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what have we found? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Wegg, delighted to be able to acquiesce. Ah, there I grant you, comrade, nothing. But on the contrary, comrade, what may we find? There you'll grant me anything. Apostrophe, I don't like it, apostrophe, pettishly returned Venus as before. I came into it without enough consideration. And besides again, isn't your own Mr. Boffin well acquainted with the mounds? And wasn't he well acquainted with the deceased and his ways? And has he ever showed any expectation of finding anything? Apostrophe, apostrophe, at that moment wheels were heard. Now, I should be loth, apostrophe, said Mr. Wegg, with an air of patient injury, to think so ill of him, as to suppose him capable of coming at this time of night. And yet it sounds like him. Apostrophe, a ring at the yard bell. It is him, apostrophe, said Mr. Wegg, and he is capable of it. I am sorry, because I could have wished to keep up a little lingering fragment of respect for him. Apostrophe, here Mr. Boffin was heard lustily calling at the yard gate, Halloa! Wegg! Halloa! Apostrophe, keep your seat, Mr. Venus, apostrophe, said Wegg. He may not stop. Apostrophe, and then called out, Halloa, sir! Halloa! I'm with you directly, sir! Half a minute, Mr. Boffin! Coming, sir, as fast as my leg will bring me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and so with a show of much cheerful alacrity stumped out to the gate with a light, and there, through the window of a cab, descried Mr. Boffin inside, blocked up with books. Here. Lend a hand, Wegg, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin excitedly. I can't get out till the way is cleared for me. This is the annual register, Wegg, in a cap full of Williams. Do you know him? Apostrophe, know the animal register, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned the impostor, who had caught the name imperfectly. For a trifling wager, I think I could find any animal in him, blindfold, Mr. Boffin. Apostrophe, and here's Kirby's wonderful museum, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, and Caulfield's characters, and Wilson's. Such characters, Wegg, such characters. I must have one or two of the best of 'em tonight. It's amazing what places they used to put the guineas in, wrapped up in rags. catch hold of that pile of Williams' leg, or it'll bulge out and burst into the mud. Is there anyone about to help? ? There's a friend of mine, sir, that had the intention of spending the evening with me when I gave you up much against my will for the night. ? Call him out, ? cried Mr. Boffin in a bustle. Get him to bear a hand. Don't drop that one under your arm. It's Dancer. Him and his sister made pies of a dead sheep they found when they were out a-walking. Where's your friend? Oh, here's your friend. Would you be so good as help Wegg and myself with these books? But don't take Jemmy Taylor of Southwark, nor yet Jemmy Wood of Gloucester. These are the two Jemmies. I'll carry them myself. ? Not ceasing to talk and bustle, in a state of great excitement, Mr. Boffin directed the removal and arrangement of the books, appearing to be in some sort beside himself until they were all deposited on the floor, and the cab was dismissed. There. ? Said Mr. Boffin, gloating over them. There they are, like the 24 fiddlers all of a row. Get on your spectacles, Wegg. I know where to find the best of them, and we'll have a taste at once of what we have got before us. What's your friend's name? ? Mr. Wegg presented his friend as Mr. Venus. Eh? ? cried Mr. Boffin, catching at the name. Of Clerkenwell? ? Of Clerkenwell, sir, said Mr. Venus. Why, I've heard of you, ? cried Mr. Boffin. I heard of you in the old man's time. You knew him. Did you ever buy anything of him? ? With piercing eagerness. No, sir, ? returned Venus. But he showed you things, didn't he? ? Mr. Venus, with a glance at his friend, replied in the affirmative. What did he show you? ? asked Mr. Boffin, putting his hands behind him, and eagerly advancing his head. Did he show you boxes, little cabinets, pocketbooks, parcels, anything locked or sealed, anything tied up? ? Mr. Venus shook his head. Are you a judge of China? ? Mr. Venus again shook his head. Because if he had ever showed you a teapot, I should be glad to know of it, ? said Mr. Boffin. And then, with his right hand at his lips, repeated thoughtfully, a teapot, and glanced over the books on the floor, as if he knew there was something interesting connected with a teapot, somewhere among them. Mr. Wegg and Mr. Venus looked at one another wonderingly. And Mr. Wegg, in fitting on his spectacles, opened his eyes wide, over their rims, and tapped the side of his nose, as an admonition to Venus, to keep himself generally wide awake. A teapot, ? repeated Mr. Boffin, continuing to muse, and survey the books. A teapot. Are you ready, Wegg? ? I am at your service, sir, ? replied that gentleman, taking his usual seat on the usual settle, and poking his wooden leg under the table before it. Mr. Venus, would you make yourself useful, and take a seat beside me, sir, for the conveniency of snuffing the candles? ? Venus complying with the invitation, while it was yet being given, Silas pegged at him with his wooden leg, to call his particular attention to Mr. Boffin standing musing before the fire, in the space between the two settles. ? Cough Mr. Wegg, to attract his employer's attention. Would you wish to commence with an animal, sir, from the register? ? No, said Mr. Boffin, no, Wegg. With that. Producing a little book from his breast pocket, he handed it with great care to the literary gentleman, and inquired, what do you call that, Wegg? This, sir, ? replied Silas, adjusting his spectacles, and referring to the title page, is Meriwether's Lives and Anecdotes of Misers. Mr. Venus, would you make yourself useful and draw the candles a little nearer, sir? " is to have a special opportunity of bestowing a stare upon his comrade. Which of 'em have you got in that lot? " asked Mr. Boffin. Can you find out pretty easy?
Well, sir, replied Silas, turning to the table of contents, and slowly fluttering the leaves of the book,
I should say they must be pretty well all here, sir. Here's a large assortment, sir. My eye catches John Overs, sir, John Little, sir, Dick Jarrell, John Elves, the Reverend Mr. Jones of Blueberry, Vulture Hopkins, Daniel Dancer, give us Dancer, Wegg, said Mr. Boffin. With another stare at his comrade, Silas sought and found the place. Page 109, Mr. Boffin. Chapter 8. Contents of Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.